WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Thursday, May 12th, 2016, we are, as we always are, so honored that you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. We have a ton to talk about on today's show. What a night it was for former Detroit Tigers pitcher Max Scherzer. Yes, the sports world is still buzzing about Mad Max's 20K performance. We, of course, will dive into that snippet of history last night and, of course, evaluate what this means for the Detroit Tigers moving forward now. Also, the way too early spring college football ESPN rankings have come out. Find out where the Michigan State Spartan football team, as well as the Michigan Wolverines, where they sit on that list. And it was a fantastic chat with one of the best girls high school basketball players in the area yesterday afternoon, as I got a chance to chat with Okemos High School girls hoop star Leah Hartman and her dad, Doug. They will be featured on Current Sports TV tonight at 10:30 p.m., but we love to give you all a treat for those that tune into Current Sport each and every Thursday. We will give you a preview of that interview, so you don't want to miss that. We'll also have Throwback Thursday on tap and talk NBA playoffs as well. That and more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next? Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners again for this May 12th. All right, folks, according to Bob Every, chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, the biggest high school softball tournament in Mitten, Michigan, will be held this weekend at Lansing's Rainey Park, beginning on Saturday at 11 a.m. That's where it will be held, folks. You don't want to miss it. Always a hot ticket anytime the softball classic returns to the area. At 11 a.m., Powerhouse, Eden Rapids, does battle with DeWitt. Now, the other games pit Grand Ledge against Mason at 1 p.m., Langsburg versus Lakewood at 3 p.m., and defending champion Holt taking on Morris at 5 p.m. Admission is $3 all day, and get this, parking is totally free. Come on out and support high school fast pitch softball. Current Sports will certainly be in the house on Saturday, just hoping that the rain holds up. All right, after 8 seasons leading the Michigan State women's tennis program, Simone Jardine has resigned as the Spartans head coach. MSU Athletics Director Mark Hollis announced that news yesterday. Now, Jardine plans on relocating to Florida with her family. Now, Jardine's overall record was 92-106, but she finished 46-30 from 2014 up until now and had 3 consecutive winning seasons, a first for the program since 1987 to 1989. And in her time as head coach from 2009 to now, Jardine coached 2 first-team All-Big Ten selections. 41 Spartans have been recognized as academic All-Big Ten honorees since her first season in EL in 2009. Congrats, Simone. It was great having her. She was definitely a guest on our show multiple times. Wishing her the best out in the Sunshine State. All right, the Michigan State baseball team held Eastern Michigan to just 3 hits in a 3-2 win over the Eastern Michigan Eagles on Wednesday night at Comerica Park. Freshman Riley McCauley picked up his 2nd win at Comerica this year, coming out of the bullpen to hold EMU hitless over his 2.2 innings on the mound. Sophomore Corey Young went 3-for-3 and scored what proved to be the game-winning run in the bottom of the 7th. Michigan State will visit Iowa this weekend for its final Big Ten Road Series of the year. Game 1 of the series is scheduled for 7:05 p.m. The Michigan State softball team has earned the number 10 seed in the Big Ten tournament and heads to State College for the 3-day event. The Spartans will take on number 7 seed Illinois today at 2:30 p.m. in the first round. Now, the tournament is a single elimination format that begins today with the title contest slated for Saturday night at Beer Field on the campus of Penn State. The tournament champion will earn the conference's automatic berth in the NCAA tournament. And that's exactly the type of run that the Michigan State Spartans will need if they plan to make the big dance. The Illini have not appeared on the MSU schedule since 2013, which means only two active players, Destiny Luan and Shannon Thomas, former current sports intern, have ever played a game against Thursday's opposition. So wishing Jackie Joseph and her squad all the luck in the world at 2:30. All right, folks, Max Scherzer. My goodness, he got the better of Jay Zim, Jordan Zimmerman, and of every other Tiger on Wednesday night in a matchup of two pitchers facing their former teams. Scherzer outdueled Zimmerman and put up a record-setting night to guide the Nationals to a 3-2 victory over the Detroit Tigers. Scherzer dominated the Tigers with 20, yes, count them, 20 strikeouts, tying a major league record for a ninth-inning start in a complete game victory. He becomes just the fourth pitcher in MLB history with 20 strikeouts in a nine-inning effort. The Detroiters hop over to Baltimore now for a four-game series against the Orioles. Beginning tonight, Mike Pelfrey tries to break his struggles when he takes the mound opposite Ubaldo Jimenez in the series opener at 7:05 p.m. We'll have more on Max, his historic night, in just a second. You don't want to miss this combo, folks. All right, folks, the Detroit Free Press has learned that rookie swingman Stanley Johnson of the Detroit Pistons will be invited to join the USA Select Team, according to two persons with firsthand knowledge of the situation. Third-year shooting guard for the Pistons, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, will also earn an invite. Now, anonymity was requested because the official announcement is still to come. The team scrimmages against Team USA as it, of course, prepares for the Rio 2016 Summer Olympics. Former Michigan State hoop great Scott Skiles, after only one season, is leaving the Orlando Magic as its head coach. The 52-year-old Skiles has also coached the Milwaukee Bucks, Chicago Bulls, and Phoenix Suns in a 14-year career. Skiles was a member of the Magic's inaugural team back in 1989-1990. Again, check out this Magic moment if you have not seen that. Skiles is a imminent part of that documentary as well. Also, Skiles played five seasons in Orlando as part of his 10-year playing career, I should say. Skiles had always been a fan favorite in Orlando. He still holds the NBA record for assists in a game with 30. Yes, that was set on December 30th, 1990 against Denver. And last but not least, LeBron James. He won't debate whether Golden State's Steph Curry should be the NBA's MVP this season. That's indisputable. But James might argue about how the award's name should be defined. One day after Curry was voted the first unanimous winner in 61 years, James, who finished third behind Steph in San Antonio's Kawhi Leonard, said the honor can be interpreted in different ways. Quote, I think sometimes the word valuable or best player of the year, you can have different results, said James, a four-time MVP. He went on to say, quote, you know, that's not taking anything away from anyone that's ever won the award, end quote. Totally agree with you, LeBron. That's what we've been arguing throughout this entire week here on the show. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in, you know that number, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Without further ado, let's start the show.
Thank you, then, gentlemen. Well, it's our last song now. Thank you very much for coming. We're going to try. This is a tune called Susudio.
All the time. Nationals record, a Nationals park record, 18 strikeouts.
How often do you get a chance to see history, and how often does Max Scherzer get a chance to make history?
Swing and a miss.
Here it comes.
Phil Collins, thank you so much, my man. My goodness. Oh, boy, how ironic, right? Max Scherzer. Mad Max. He was completely out of his mind last night, taking on his former team, the Detroit Tigers. 20 Ks for the man. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. As you just heard that montage, and let this ride for a bit. Love this joint. One of my favorite all-time favorite Phil Collins joints. So get this. Roger Clemens did it twice. Twice. That's crazy when you just think about that. Just shows you how great Roger Clemens was on the mound, right? Roger Clemens did it twice. Kerry Wood, Randy Johnson, and now Max Scherzer is a part of history as the only pitchers in the game that have ever thrown 20 strikeouts in one sitting. Unbelievable. You know, the key to this whole thing, you know, when you look at the stats throughout last night's matchup, Max had 13 strikeouts. 13 strikeouts through six innings. But that's not the key here, folks. That was through 77 pitches. That is the key. If you're going to do something like this in today's game, you got to keep that pitch count low. This isn't back in the day where the starting pitcher was the pitcher throughout the entire game. That don't happen no more. Simple as that. And get this is the first time this has happened since Randy Johnson accomplished the feat back in 2001. It's been that long, folks. And again, a lot of it has to do with the pitch count. Once that pitch count gets higher and higher, that manager says, no. All right, come to the bullpen. That's it. Sit next to me. And, you know, Clemens, you know, if you look at Clemens's his second 20K game, he threw 151 pitches. 151 pitches, folks. That's a lot of pitches. So the Tigers, after briefly getting out of that horrid losing streak, they hop right back in the hole. Hop right back in the hole. The final matchup in interleague play against the Washington Nationals going against former Tiger Max Scherzer, and they just couldn't. I will say this, though. The Tigers, believe it or not, despite the performance from Max Scherzer, the Tigers were in this game. The Tigers were still in this game, folks. Those that watched it last night, now flipping back and forth between the NBA playoffs and, you know, the history that Max Scherzer was making. Again, it was a 3-2 final. 3-2, the Tigers were in this game, and lo and behold, as soon as the Tigers lose, I knew it was coming. Yep. Yep, the train started back up. The fire, Brad Ausmus train, revved up once again, folks. And he's getting criticized, and justifiably so. I got to admit here. He's getting criticized because a lot of people are scratching their head and saying, why, Brad, did you not throw in the hottest hitter in the American League right now? Why did you throw in Nick Castellanos in the ninth? Why didn't you use the man? Yeah. But on the contrary, and I actually retweeted this, a good friend of mine, who I went to school with, Nick Roddy, who has worked in Detroit radio for a while now. Nick tweeted, quote, love how fans blame, Brad Ausmus for not using Castellanos in the ninth. Why not blame the players for Kane 20 times? Miggy saw 12 pitches total. Preach on, brother. Preach on, Nick. I hear what you're saying, but I do think the fans that criticize Ausmus for not throwing in Nick have a legitimate gripe. I get that. I think it's shared. In a situation like this, you can't point the finger to one person and say, yeah, you lost this game. You can't strike out 20 times and expect to get a dub as well. Should have Brad thrown in Nick? Yeah, without a doubt. He screwed up there. Throw in Nick Castellanos, throw in your hottest bat, and try to get a win. That didn't happen. But prior to that, again, the Tigers lineup struck out 20 times. That's Ugle. And riddle me this. Little old Jose Iglesias, who is not known as being a power hitter, he came up and actually hit a homer off of Max Scherzer last night. Yes, Jose Iglesias to left field. I could not believe what I saw. That I'm like, okay, everybody in the lineup can't even feel bat to ball. Can't even get a little nip of it. But then Jose Iglesias just comes up, boom. Boom, home run. Can't believe that. Victor Martinez, here's a stat for you as well. V-Mart was the only Tiger that did not strike out. V-Mart, the only one that did not shoot the breeze and take a trot to the dugout after a strikeout. Yeah. And you know, and I'm going back to what I said earlier this week, folks. This performance really puts in perspective just how bad the Tigers hitting has been as of late. Okay, the Tigers hitting, they're struggling right now. And the comment I made was that I believe the Tigers are thinking way too much when they pick up that bat to go swing. Because when you get into a funk, you can just sit there and just say, oh, what am I doing wrong here? Maybe I need to tweak this. Maybe I need to tweak that. No, you got to just relax. Let the game come to you. And I think that's what Jose Iglesias did. I mean, he's not known to be a big Tigers bat anyway. He's not known for his hitting. Jose Iglesias is known as being one of the best defensive players in the game today. This is a man who is batting 245, all right? That's Jose Iglesias' batting average. So when he comes to the plate, he's just carefree. And, you know, it paid off for him. And, you know, Scherzer, when putting his year in perspective, with the exception of last night, he has not been that great this year. I got to be honest. When you look at Max Scherzer's overall ERA, it's over 4. He has a 4.15 ERA as of today, May 12, 2016. Okay? And it was even higher going into last night. So Max took this one personal. He's been circling this on his calendar and looking forward to this matchup for a while now. He had the eye of the tiger, pun intended. And, you know, I can't help but think about, you know, Scherzer when he was, you know, when he dined the old English D back in the day. Watching him play was such a joy. If you remember, you know, Scherzer, he declined a 6-year, $144 million contract extension with the Tigers back in the spring of 2014. He said, nah, I'm worth more than that. I'm worth more than $144 million. And I remember at the time, I came on these airwaves and I said, Max, you're crazy. $144 million? You are crazy to turn down that amount of money. And I think I even went on to say, you know what, maybe you need to go somewhere else. If you can't take that check, maybe you need to go somewhere else. The Tigers aren't paying you more than that. You crazy? You ain't worth more than that, dog. That's all out the window now. He signed, and I look like an idiot now because he went on to sign, of course, a 7-year, $210 million contract last year with the Washington Nationals, making people like me look like complete idiots. Yeah, $210 million. That's a lot of money. Actually, to put that, you know, in context, that's the second largest ever for a starting pitcher in MLB history. $210 million, the 10th largest overall. And get this, there was also more dollar signs included with that contract. It included a $50 million signing bonus, if you remember. So now Max Scherzer is living life, living the lavish life out there in Washington. And last night was a friendly reminder to all out there that Max has not gotten fat and happy, despite what his numbers look like right now in the infancy of the MLB year. He's not fat and happy. He's still got it. Max Scherzer put on a show. And again, I really do believe that the Tigers are just thinking way too much. Anytime you make a statement like this is coming from J.D. Martinez. This is what J.D. Martinez said right after that game. Quote, "It was like a horror film," end quote. Anytime you're making statements like that, yeah, the picture's in your head. And he was certainly in the heads of the Detroit Tigers last night. Folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And when you look at the list of pitchers with multiple 17-plus K games in a respective career, the list looks like this. Ryan with 8. Randy with 7. Clemens with 3. Pedro with 2. Colfax 2. Feller with 2, and now Max Scherzer as well with 2. What a performance. And this is probably the craziest stat that I'll throw out all day for you all. I actually posted this to my Facebook page, about 2 hours before I hit the air today. Get this. There have been, as I stated, just 520K games in Major League Baseball history. Clemens twice, Gary Wood, Randy Johnson, and now Max Scherzer. But get this, Tigers manager Brad Ausmus was on the losing side of 3 of them. I'll repeat that again. 520K games in the history of the majors, and Tigers manager Brad Ausmus was on the losing side of not one, not two, but 3 of those performances. Wow. When I read that, I almost fell out my seat. Crazy, right? Kerry Wood, back on May 6th, 1998. Brad was playing on the opposite side of that. Also, he was a victim of the second Roger Clemens 20K game when Ausmus was with the Tigers. And now, Brad Ausmus, as a manager of the Detroit Tigers, he sees another 20K performance, but he's not celebrating. Crazy stuff. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, my man, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how are you, my friend?
Yeah, it's time to fire Brad Ausmus. How many 20 strikeout games is he going to be on the wrong end of before we realize he's not the guy? No, I'm just kidding. Of course. But at the same time, what a performance last night from Max Scherzer. Some other stats that I'd like to bring up, and these courtesy of the Detroit News, but through 6 innings, Max Scherzer had 13 strikeouts and 15 balls. 15 balls total. Al, you mentioned the total pitch count that he racked up last night, and that's an average pitching performance just about of work, and he did it with 20 strikeouts. But Max Scherzer was just so efficient last night. He ended up finishing with 80% plus strikes, one of 4 pitchers ever to do that, joining Doc Halliday, David Wells, and Curt Schilling. And 96 of his pitches were strikes. So that just puts into perspective how amazing this entire performance was. Not just the pitches that resulted in strikeouts, but all of the other ones that led up to this too. 34 of those strikes were swinging as well. That means he painted the corner time and time after again. So, yeah, Max Scherzer, gosh, that contract looks awfully friendly when you see a night like that, even for as much as it's worth.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, and you can kind of point, really, Isaac, to, and I don't even know if you can put it in the context of the word demise, but I think it's fitting when you use that word when discussing the Detroit Tigers, because they have been a squad for quite some time now, that when you look at their roster, there's no way that this team should not be sniffing a World Series every single year. So you can kind of point to the demise, I'm going to use the word, of the Detroit Tigers when looking at Max Scherzer leaving. A lot of people point to that as, you know, when he rejected that six-year, $144 million contract and really had a lot of pressure going into that following year because he had to perform to really put on a great display for other teams that wanted his talents. And when he decided to leave, a lot of people say, okay, that was it. You know, how do you fill a void? How do you fill a hole in your starting pitching rotation like a Max Scherzer leaving your team? I mean, it's pretty much impossible, right? Mission impossible. And the Tigers certainly tried to because they had really no other choice. The team, if you remember, when Dave Dombrowski was still at the helm, they shuffled their rotation in the offseason, adding right-handers Alfredo Simon. That's right, Big Pasta. And Shane Green in trades. And trading Rick Porcello to the Red Sox. And, you know, what happens after that? Dave Dombrowski, he leaves and goes to the Red Sox. And who's he take with him? And Dave Dombrowski, I tell you what, David Price was his guy. Dave Dombrowski was in love with Price. So much so, they decided to take him from Detroit and bring him on to the Red Sox now. And if you remember, during that time period, Price had agreed to a one-year contract worth $19.75 million. The highest ever for a player that actually filed for arbitration. Just to show you how in love Dombrowski was with Price. So Price leaves, Scherzer's gone, and the Tigers say, you know what, okay, we got to pad this, so let's bring on Jordan Zimmermann, and let's just get a bunch of big bats. And they kind of ignored the bullpen, which they've done for a while now. And that hasn't gotten better. So you can kind of look at that time period and say there were some questionable moves here. There were some questionable moves that the Detroit Tigers made, and now they're in this current position. So do I believe, and I'm sticking with my guns here, do I believe that Tigers manager Brad Ausmus is going to be fired? Yes, I do. I don't think that Brad Ausmus will survive the rest of this year. I think it's going to be a week when we wake up, a day when we wake up, you know, we go to our smartphones because that's what we do in today's society. We go to our smartphones, and I'm going to see a notification. The Tigers have let go of manager Brad Ausmus. Do I think that's the right move? I'm sticking to my guns. No, I don't think that's the right move because I don't see how that move helps you. I don't see how that move helps. And I don't think you can point the finger at Brad Ausmus last night and say, you lost the game for us. I just don't think it's shared responsibility here. The players were not great against Max Scherzer. And even though it's an exception because Max Scherzer, I don't think anybody could have really hit on him with the type of stuff he was dealing last night. But at the same time, the player struck out 20 times. How is that the fault of Brad Ausmus? You know, you can point to one instance. Again, I don't know why he didn't throw out Nick Castellanos. And fans are going to look at that and say, that's a moment that Brad Ausmus, that really sums up what Brad Ausmus has done to this ball club the past, 3 years now. You can't make mistakes like that, fire Brad Ausmus. They are going to call for his head. But who do you bring in? I think that would just totally disrupt the chemistry of this team furthermore, and it's not going to help him at all. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree 100% because you look at that, that's one at bat, one possible hit of 27 outs in a game of Major League Baseball. One, you're going to point to that and tell me that one decision should mayor the manager being fired. Now, of course, they will also look to the past two seasons that Brad Ausmus has had and said this is long overdue, blah, blah, blah. And I'm on the train of thought that if Brad Ausmus can't turn this season around, yeah, you fire him. I don't think he's the problem. I don't. But at the same time, he's not the solution as of now. And that's what you need for the Tigers. You've traded your best prospects, not best prospects, but best players, best pitchers, and it let them go on free agency. And now you're stuck into a situation where you don't have the raw talent to win a World Series on its own. You're going to need some sort of shakeup. Now, a few years ago, yeah, you did. But right now, this team, with one elite pitcher in Jordan Zimmermann, and
JV, I think, is coming along really slowly.
Slowly.
But slowly but surely, I think. His outing last weekend against the Texas Rangers, it shows you what JV can do.
It was promising.
He can do that, but you got to be consistent.
At the end of last season, JV was promising as well. And then the start of this season, it totally all went to heck and
it's so early, though. And so I want to say that again. It's so early that, again, I don't know how you can make a sporadic decision such as firing your manager and making these hard assumptions about the year thus far when it's so early. It's May. It's May. Chill. You know, we're so reactionary in sports. Isaac, it blows my mind how people don't put things in perspective at the end of the day. You have a 162-game year. Okay? So why jump off the ship right now? You just got on it. I don't know, dude.
Well, the other part about this is things can get worse. I mean, sir, don't forget.
You can say that about any situation, right?
Are flowing right around 500 despite the fact that they lost 7 in a row and now 8 of 9. That is not too bad to wind up around 500 there. The start of this year, everybody was saying, see, that's why you brought in Jordan Zimmerman. That's why you kept Brad Ausmus one more year. That's why all of these different factors, which have since gone the other way. Mm-hmm. But right now, you look at the Twins, they're 8-25. You look at the Royals, defending World Series champions, they're 16-17. They're just a game above the Tigers. It's early in the season. Teams will turn it around. And the thing is, yeah, if the Tigers can't get above 500, sure, fire Ausmus. But that's by the halfway point of this season. Baseball is 162 games long. We're barely scratching the surface right now.
I want to read two comments here via our Facebook page. Again, if you're a bit shy, don't want to call in, but you still want to weigh in on the conversation on today's current sports, again, leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or you can even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. And those who are friends of mine on Facebook, just add me. Al Martin, simple. Add me. I'll accept you. And you can weigh in as well and catch the live stream, Facebook live stream of our show. Ryan Walker says, quote, every Tiger except V-Mart was shut down. Exactly, Ryan. That's what I alluded to. V-Mart was the only Tiger that did not strike out, last night. Also, Jeremy Bowie says, quote, Brad will not make it this season. I'm thinking he'll be fired before the All-Star break. That's kind of what we alluded to. If he doesn't get it right, I think that's the point. You know, halfway, if you can't get it right at the halfway point, if you're not getting the job done, okay, if you're going to pull the trigger, you can pull it then. He goes and say that I think he'll be fired before the All-Star break. Tigers spent $250 million this offseason. You don't spend that kind of money for these kind of results. Totally agree. And that's what puts Brad Ausmus, and has put Brad Ausmus with a spotlight ever since he's become the Tigers manager. He's a young guy who came into a situation where he is expected to get to a World Series. That's pretty tough for a young guy to come into. That kind of expectation. And I think that was the big knock. You know, when the Tigers hired Brad Ausmus, they said, okay, this guy was a great player. He's solid. He's got great, you know, instincts when it comes to the game. He may be a good fit. But he's a young manager, not a lot of experience, and you expect him to automatically take a stout roster, a very good roster at that, but to take them to a World Series. If you don't get it done, the leash is very, very short. Simple as that. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will give you all a preview of tonight's current sports TV sit down with one of the best high school girls basketball players in the area. Her name is Leah Hartman, and her dad, Doug Hartman, was also in the house. You'll get to hear that chat and so much more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
Current State Podcast is your informative, insightful, and indispensable connection with what's happening around mid-Michigan and beyond. From politics to education, environmental news to healthcare, science and tech to music and theater, stories from around the state and your hometown. That's the Current State Podcast anywhere, anytime at iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever a story develops, the Newsday team will be there.
Newsday's Shaima Khalil in the Egyptian capital.
Thousands of Mohamed Morsi supporters are still gathering here, really waking up to the dramatic events of yesterday.
I'm in the center of an absolutely extraordinary security operation.
Follow the story wherever it leads with Newsday from the BBC.
The BBC on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports, and I want to read a quick comment here from our Facebook live stream. This one comes from my frat brother, Justin J. Dunn. He says, Chicago Civil War Series. And yeah. My frat brother, Justin, he's from the Chi, so he certainly has a diehard love for anything Chicago. But, you know, there's a dynamic in Chicago, though. You can't be both a Cubs and a White Sox fan. You got to pick one or the other, all right? And I'm assuming he's a White Sox fan, so he's all White Sox right now. And, of course, in the AL Central, the Tigers compete in that division, and the White Sox are completely on a tear right now. And also, Brad Walker, who's one of our outstanding coworkers here at WKAR, Brad is also a huge White Sox fan. And Brad came in, he comes in just about after every show, and we chat sports, and Brad walks in, and he's like on cloud nine right now when it comes to the White Sox. The White Sox right now, one of the hottest teams in the league, even though they're currently on a two-game losing streak, but they are 23-12 on the year. 23-12, that's a 65% win percentage right now. The Indians are the next closest. They are 5 games behind. Then the Royals at 6, then the Tigers at 7, and the Twins. Let's not even discuss. It's not even discuss the Twins. The White Sox are completely rolling right now. Folks, call in 517-355-9527. Also, Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, they took care of business against the Portland Trail Blazers. And I got to say this, the Warriors will move on now to another Western Conference Finals appearance. And I got to say this, though. The series was 4-1 to close it out. But my goodness, it's scary when you look at the Warriors right now, because I thought that the Portland Trail Blazers played an exceptional series. An exceptional series. They battled tooth and nail. Damian Lillard was absolutely lights out. I mean, that Portland Trailblazers team was pretty good. Pretty good. And the Warriors still win 4-1. And, of course, Steph Curry, he was handed the MVP trophy seconds before tip-off. And if you look at his NBA ranks, it just is absolutely filthy. I saw this via my Instagram page. Right now, Steph Curry, when it comes to NBA ranks, he ranks first in scoring, first in field goals made, first in field goal attempts, first in three-point field goal percentage, first in three-point field goals attempted, first in fast break points, and first on points off turnovers. Really hard to argue with an MVP conversation when you look at those numbers, right? Wow. Steph Curry. And, you know, and I must say this, Isaac, I think that the Golden State Warriors are, from top to bottom, on both ends of the basketball floor, they are playing close to the if there's a perfect way to play basketball, the Warriors are playing the closest to that P word that I have ever seen in NBA history. From top to bottom, when it comes to sharing the basketball, when it comes to defense, when it comes to getting out on the break, and a lot of it has to do with how well they shoot. I mean, they have the best shooting backcourt in all of basketball history in Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. That certainly helps. But from top to bottom, I don't think I've ever witnessed a team that plays the game as flawless as the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, it's fluid. Everything just clicks at the right time. It's gears in motion. And the amazing thing that the Warriors do is, because the Spurs do that as well. The Spurs have such a beautiful style of basketball. Yeah, it'll lull you to sleep because of a lack of athleticism, with the exception of Kawhi Leonard. The Warriors have that, plus the athleticism, which is why they've got the best regular season record of all time. And credit for that has to go to Steve Kerr. It really does. In just 2 short seasons, he has instilled in this team a mindset and a mantra of other players before yourself. That's what makes Steph Curry so exceptional is the fact that he's willing to play off ball. He's willing to let Draymond Green get the triple-double, let Klay Thompson get the 37-point quarter. So I think that all comes down to Steve Kerr. And Mark Jackson did a great job with player development.
Oh, he did.
But
yeah.
At the same time, it's Steve Kerr's mindset, Steve Kerr's game plan that has rode this team all the way to the top, to the best team, I think, now in NBA history. We'll see in the finals, but I think it's safe to make that claim.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit premature because you got to win the whole thing. You got to win the ship. If they do that, and they're the favorites to do that, I think you can say that. And again, I think, you know, to put a local perspective on it, you mentioned how Mark Jackson, he kind of set the table and Steve Kerr kind of brought the food in, right?
Exactly.
At the end of the day, when you look at the Pistons back in 2004, when they won the NBA championship, I always bring up Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle certainly prepared that table really, really nicely for Larry Brown to come in, tweak a few things, bring in Rasheed Wallace, and then go on and win an NBA championship. So I definitely have always, when looking at Kerr coming into that situation out in Golden State, have equated that to what took place with the Detroit Pistons back in 2004. And I think, you know, Steve Kerr being such a young coach and having the type of success that he has, maybe Brad Austin needs to make a phone call to Steve and see what he's doing right.
That's
so
true.
All right, Leah Hartman is a freshman point guard for the Okemos varsity girls basketball team with an average of 19 points per game. A popular recruit by top universities, Hartman has already received D1 scholarship offers from Michigan, Michigan State, Villanova, Oregon, Purdue, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. And folks, she just came off her freshman year. Already 9 scholarship offers. Hartman and her family keep a disciplined outlook for her future by keeping basketball and school in perspective. Both of her parents were former college athletes, including, again, her father, Doug, who played D3 basketball. And I got a chance to chat with not only Leah, but Doug as well. They were both in the house, and you can catch this episode tonight at 10:30 p.m. on WKAR-TV. It was an absolute, just beautiful chat with two just fantastic individuals, and Leah has a bright, bright future. So we love to give you guys a treat each and every Thursday for those that tune in to Current Sports Radio, a special snippet and sneak peek and look into the night's Current Sports TV sit-down. So here is my chat with Leah and Doug Hartman. First, asking Leah how she fell in love with the beautiful game that is basketball.
I'd say I first really started getting interested in basketball when we lived in Connecticut. So I was in kindergarten and went to a UConn's women's basketball game. And there was Maya Moore, Diana Taurasi, and it was just like that whole team. And it was just like the atmosphere was like so live and everything was just, it just drew
That's
my
when
attention.
It sparked,
yeah,
right?
It was like really exciting. And ever since then, I kind of just aspired to be like playing in that type of atmosphere. So I'm just...
Is that when you started playing?
That's when I started, like, that's when I first got, like, my interest for basketball.
That's when it peaked right there. Now, Doug, when, you know, Leah started to pick up that basketball and started to play regularly, when did you know that she had a knack for this thing, that she was pretty good at it?
Well, she was the kind of kid who really stayed at it, and she wanted to master things. And so she would work on, you know, her left-hand dribbling, and really, you know, try and get that down well as her right hand. So it was a series of things that she did like that to try and improve and get better. And when she got pretty good at that, then she'd move on to something else.
It sounds like, Leah, you're pretty competitive then, because normally when you see a kid who's just starting off, they're playing for the love of it. I mean, if they get better naturally by just in the ebb and flow of it, cool. But you worked on it, intentionally worked on your game.
Yeah, I'd say I like really started like picking things apart and trying to get better at like certain things, like as you said, like left hand dribbling or shooting form was around 6th grade, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
right.
When I started like, okay, I need to do this or do this better. So it was kind of just like progressive.
Where does that competitive drive come from? Are you pretty competitive? Am I getting that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when we ran a piece, Andrea Urban did a great job of profiling
your love of the game and also just your knack for it. There was a part in there where she highlighted your brother. You and your brother go at it. Mm-hmm. And I know there was a part in that piece as well, which highlighted when you guys played one-on-one.
Yeah.
And you beat him for the first time. Do you remember that moment?
Yeah, I remember. Because I was like, so I beat him, and then he got really mad. And I was like, oh, no. And then he grabbed, he like snatched the ball from me. And then he was like, we're playing again. He was like, I have to beat you. So then we played again, and I don't remember who won. But we always just, like, we wanted to end on... Like, I always wanted to end winning, and he always wanted to end winning, but he usually ended winning, so...
Is that so?
I'd always be mad, but...
And he usually beat you?
He usually, yeah.
So was that kind of a moment as well, beating your older brother?
That'd yeah,
be pretty
it was.
Cool too. Now, you know, when you look at this, Doug, it's so crazy because look at the scholarship offers that Leia currently has. And I want to go... Bear with me with this list, okay? U of M, Michigan State, Villanova, Wisconsin, Indiana, Marquette, Oregon State, Purdue, and Minnesota. That's 9 offers, and you are just going to be a sophomore next year, Leia. When did the call start, Doug?
Well, they started around the end of 7th grade, and the conversations with different universities, different coaches. And those conversations were mainly get-to-know-you kind of conversations. Mm-hmm. They weren't really about recruiting per se, just, you know, we have a good program, we'd like you to take a look at us. You know, we have, this is our what our season is looking like coming up, and if you can make it to a game, that'd be great. So that's what it looked like at that level.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's a catch-22 when it comes to recruiting process with many people, because some love it, and some are like me and absolutely despise it. What's the recruiting process been like for you all? I want to start with Doug and then go to Leia. What's that been like as a parent, trying to monitor and make sure that these schools have the best interest for your daughter?
Well, it's surprising, first of all, that it happens early, and it's pretty consistent. We try and monitor it and you know, keep in contact with her about what conversations are taking place. We like to know what was talked about, if they're on the phone, for example, and sort of what came out of that. We have some other guidelines that we use.
What are those guidelines?
Well, one is that we don't set up consistent conversation times on the phone, like every couple of weeks or something,
okay.
That they need to occur less frequently.
Mm-hmm.
So we want her just to enjoy this time in life, be a freshman in high school, and love the game, but know that there's also an off-court part to all this, and you have to participate in that and get better at it over time. And so we want to kind of regulate that here at the beginning.
How young is too young?
Wow, that line is hard to draw. It's going to differ. You know, because my wife and I played college sports, we have some knowledge. And so we can be supportive in ways that I think will be helpful. So I think probably 8th grade was okay, mm-hmm. you know, for the kind of informal conversations that took place.
Right.
But for others, it may be too early.
Right. And it all depends on the just how mature...
Yes.
That kid is as well, right?
And it was kind of hard at first, because just like talking with someone that knows that much about basketball, I don't know, it was just kind of hard. But I've gotten used to it, so it's fine now.
So you like the recruiting process, then, Leia?
Yeah, I like it better now.
Now, what have the visits been like? Out of those 9 schools, have you taken visits to respective campuses?
All unofficial to Michigan State, and Butler.
And what have you enjoyed about those visits?
I just liked learning about everything that they had to offer at their college, because like everyone's different, and every university just has things that they want to focus on and that they want to do their way. So it's just like whatever you think fits you the best, that's what you want to.
Certainly. Now, I have to ask this question. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask it. Who is in the lead right now when it comes to choosing which school you want to go to?
That's a really tough question. There are, like, certain things that I like better about certain schools.
Okay.
Like, there isn't, like, one that's for sure, like, in first place.
Well, give me an example. Okay, compare 2 of them for me and say, all right, I like this better than this school, but also that school has this.
Well, I like the coach's style better at different schools, because I think that I don't really like a coach that'll like yell at you the whole game. Mm-hmm. So I think.
Oh, time is over. No, I'm joking, joking.
So I think like a calmer,
calm demeanor.
Yeah, calm demeanor.
Chill on the sidelines, yeah. But also stern at mm-hmm. the same time.
Yeah. So I think that's something that I've been paying attention to, and just like the team atmosphere, just mm-hmm. things like that, and academics too.
What about you, Pops?
I'd agree with both of those. I look at some other things, like what are the support structures that are there for athletes, student athletes, like the tutoring, the mentoring that's available. Those are really key things, because the ball will stop bouncing at some point, so she's going to need and other student athletes as well. So what's the academics going to be like for her?
Do you have a list of schools right now that you personally would like to see her go at number one? Do you have a school out of that nine that you would like, that you're kind of pushing her, like, hey, what about this school over here?
No, this is really her choice. You know, she needs to own it. And we certainly talk about lots of things. And when we go to games, or visit a campus, we, you know, note, you know, you might want to pay attention to something like this and compare it to somewhere else. So it becomes like a criteria mm-hmm.
right.
To help her decide at some point in the future.
Love it. Now, you both mentioned, of course, academic, student-athlete, yeah. right? What do you want to study when you get to college later?
I'm actually not sure, but as of now, probably something in the medical field.
Nice. Doctor or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
That is absolutely fantastic. Gotta love that. All right, so moving on from the whole recruiting conversation, when you look at your fandom for basketball, it is certainly real. I can certainly tell. I mean, you're working on your game constantly, and you're, again, one of the best players, actually, the top-rated player in the state of Michigan for the 2019 class. Very impressive. But you also have a sort of an affinity for track and field as well. Is that right, Leah?
Mm-hmm.
What do you like about track and field?
Well, I'm good at it, so I guess that's...
Anything you're good at, you gotta like it, right?
So I guess, yeah, I mean, I'm really, like, good at long jump, so that's kind of carried over from basketball, because I've just been doing them both for so long. So
right, and I believe you're competing in long jump. You run the 200 and the 400.
Yeah.
Am I right? So at whatever school you go to, could you see yourself participating in the track and field team as well?
If I'd like go to the college for basketball, but I don't think. Yeah. I just
go for hoops. Yeah. No track and field. Now, Doug, when you look at Leia's training regimen, if you will, because we all know hoops. When you're good like Leah, I mean, it's kind of a year-round thing. You constantly want to improve and make sure your skills are up to par to compete with not only those in your state and in your community, but nationally as well. What is Leah's training regimen like?
Well, it's fallen into a cycle. So the early part of the fall is more of a downtime. Before basketball starts. She's still working on skill work primarily and some strength. And then when it moves into the school basketball season, it's pretty intense. Every day, 6 days a week, there are practices or games. And that goes on for almost 6 months. And then immediately travel ball picks up after that. And she's doing that in track at the same time. And so we monitor that pretty closely so she doesn't overtrain and overcompete.
Right.
And then into the summer, there's mainly travel ball.
Mainly travel ball.
And then August, we take a month off as a family and just get away.
That's good. I was just about to say, because that schedule looks pretty strenuous at the same time. Leah, do you ever get burnt out?
Not really.
Not really?
I don't think so.
As long as you're out there playing, you're happy, right?
That's
fantastic. Now, I got the chance to invite this week on Current Sports Radio your new head coach. Oakmans mm-hmm. High School, the girls basketball program, has a new head coach who's also a product of Oakmans High School. We're from Oakmans High School to playing for the Michigan State women's basketball team, to then in the WNBA and also playing internationally. Her name is Kristen Ramison, mm-hmm. and she came on the airwaves, and I believe that you all got a chance, you and the team, got a chance to chat with Kristen.
Yes.
Thank goodness for technology, right? Via Skype or FaceTime, right?
FaceTime.
What was that interaction like? What do you think of Kristen so far?
Yeah, I was really, happy that they chose her to be our coach, and... she just talked about how she was excited to be our coach and stuff like that.
That's great stuff. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what she implements with your program.
Yes, Leah Hartman and Doug Hartman, they are in the house for tonight's Current Sports TV sit-down at 10:30 p.m. on WKAR-TV. Make sure you DVR it if it's a little too late, and you know that we post every single episode of Current Sports TV on our website at video.wkar.org. Interesting segment of that conversation, Isaac, because I want to throw this out to you and our listeners as well. When Doug started to tell me about the year-round schedule that Leah Hartman has concerning her sport of basketball, I sat back and thought about a conversation that we had, I think, about a year ago here on the show, and that concerns whether or not multi-sport student athletes in high school are more prepared for life in the long run, rather than those who just singularly just focus on one sport throughout the entire year and don't play anything else. Because there's been, I guess, studies that show that those who play multiple sports throughout their high school career and digging even sooner into their respective youth, they have more a varied skill set, more so than of one individual who is just focused on one sport. And Leah is a multi-sport athlete. I mean, she focuses on track and field as well. She also participates in that. But do you think it's healthy for an athlete to just focus on one sport year-round?
No. I think for athletes, that multidisciplinary approach is actually very helpful. You learn different skills and tools. Obviously, the connection between track and basketball is obvious. Mm-hmm. Speed, jumping, all of those come into play. And my claim to fame, I guess, is knowing Odell Beckham Jr., growing up with him.
Yeah.
And he always participated in basketball, football, track, even soccer as a little kid. He also was in the chess club. Fun fact at St. Andrew's Episcopal
School. Odell Beckham Jr. was in the chess club. That's pretty cool.
Yes, sir. But anyway, I think it does help. I think it helps manage the burden as well. However, I do think it's something which specifically should almost be reserved to those athletes with higher aspirations. And Leah Hartman definitely falls into that category.
She is going to be a fantastic player as she just keeps on getting better and better and better. When I actually posted a link to her various highlight reels on my Facebook page at facebook.com. So definitely check that out. And speaking of your boy Odell Beckham, he's been rumored to have a little thing for Beyonce. Did you see that?
I have.
He was at the Met Gala. And
lemonade.
And there's... And there's a photo montage of Beyonce and Odell, you know, a bit close and having this long conversation. So people are, of course, reading into that after Beyonce's Lemonade came out, calling out Jay-Z. And I know he was dating Zendaya as well. I saw him at the Grammys with Zendaya. So player, your boy Odell Beckham, dude. Man. All right. 2 minutes left in the show. Throwback Thursday. Here we go.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the spot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, so what took place on this day in sports history? Today is Thursday, May 2nd, on this day back in 1917. That's right, 1917. Omar Khayyam became the first imported horse to win the Kentucky Derby. How cool is that? In 1970, Ernie Banks of the Chicago Cubs hit his 500th home run. In 1982, the United States Football League, the USFL, was formed. In 1985, the New York Knicks won the first NBA draft lottery. In 1996, Lance Armstrong became the first cyclist to repeat in the American Tour DuPont. In 1997, Larry Bird was announced as the new head coach of the Indiana Pacers. In 1998, the Indiana Pacers head coach Larry Bird became only the third rookie head coach to win NBA Coach of the Year. Pretty good stretch from 97 to 98 for Larry Bird. And in 2003, Churchill Downs stewards announced that they had determined that Jose Santos had not done anything prohibited in his Kentucky Derby win. So, interesting. Interesting lineup there for Throwback Thursday. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in to this fantastic edition, this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Again, catch Current Sports TV tonight at 10:30 p.m. on WKAR-TV. We'll be back at it tomorrow, same time, same place.
Have a fantastic afternoon, and be easy, people.